eu tinha chegado lá o Excel ele se muito bem ele não tem nada but we can have a different kind of kirtan, not with harmonium and kartals, with the glorification of Balaram and his pastimes. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Vaishnavi Srimati Sage Vasanya Vadi Krishna Om Now today, as we know, is Balaram Purnima. So Lord Balaram is born on the full moon day, on the month of Bhadra in the Vaishnava calendar. And now I'm going to, there's an examination right after this class, you boys. Especially you have to pay very close attention. What's your name?
Vet.
Huh? Bed. Bed. You know what bed means in English?
Nope.
It's knowledge. So if you listen, you'll get great knowledge of Balaram and you'll do well on the examination. Now, the origin of everything, aham eva samayva, is a supreme person. This is so radical in this world to the understanding that although the absolute truth, param satyam, is everywhere and nothing is separated from him, yet he's a person, a supreme person, all-powerful person. How could all in existence come from something with no qualities and no personality? At least the quality of being able to manifest something must come from this supreme person, from a person, not qualityless. Commonly, generally, when people think of the absolute truth or God, if they're religious, they don't really have a very clear understanding. One would say that it's a vague understanding of who that absolute truth is and what it is. And according to how we approach the absolute truth, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, yaya tam mam prapadyante, that absolute truth will reveal himself to us. Now, this is very important to understand. And it is not difficult to understand, too. If we approach the absolute truth in a way trying to understand everything by our own intelligence, then that absolute truth will reciprocate with us and reveal himself to us as the one who is everywhere and everything. If we approach with focus and a little bit of devotion, then that absolute truth will reveal himself to us as being in my heart, your heart, Vedic's heart, everyone's heart. Yours also, in everyone's heart, as the Paramatma. Paramatma means the supreme self, the supreme one who is everyone's heart. So how do you understand someone who's going to reciprocate with you just according to how you approach him. If you're nice to him, say he'll be nice. If there's a person like that, if you're sweet with him, he's sweet. If you yell at him, he'll yell back at you. If you hit him, he'll hit you. What is that person actually like? Because if we're just seeing him according to how we approach him, if he reveals himself to us as we approach him, what is he actually like? And what causes him to reveal himself to us as he actually is? Well, with ourselves, when we deal with different people, we'll deal differently. Well, if someone we don't like who is angry at us or envious of us, we put up a big wall in front of us so they never really see who we are. If we're afraid of someone, we also put up a wall or a face that doesn't really say who we are. We have an external way of showing ourselves to people. But who do we let know who we actually are? You ask yourself that question. Who knows you better than anyone else? Who you tell everything to? It is only a person who you trust completely and what causes you to trust someone is if you know that they love you. Because someone who loves you will never do anything to harm you or take advantage of you. So to know this absolute truth in as he actually is, one needs devotion. One needs love, because then he will show himself to us as he actually is. And who is this absolute truth? He is all attractive. He's the most beautiful. He has everything to an unlimited degree that attracts us. And his name, therefore, is Krishna. Krishna means the all-attractive. And if we approach not with just the formalities of a ritual, not because we have to and you're supposed to, and this is how the culture is, or this is how our parents tell us to act, but if we actually approach him with love and devotion, he will actually reveal himself to us. And he will carry on a very personal relationship with us. So that absolute truth in its original form, according to Lagu Bhagavatamrita and the Shastras, including Chaitanya Charitamrita, is called Swayam Rupa. That means his actual form. His actual form. Who knows, or how do we even know the ultimate form of this Supreme Person? Do we even care to know? Do we think of that as the purpose of our life? The purpose of our human life, it has a purpose? Or do we think that it really doesn't have a purpose? It's just to advance in some material way, or seek some happiness in some material way. I remember of hearing of a very pious person in Bombay. His hobby, he was very wealthy, and his hobby was collecting Rolls Royces. And he had like over 80 Rolls Royces. How many do you have, Vida?
I have none. I don't even have a cold.
Do you have a cold?
No, I don't even have a cold.
You don't even have a cold either. I know you don't have a cold, but you don't have a cold either, right? Am I right? So you're lucky that you don't have a cold because you don't have to pay your insurance. So many things. But aside from that, he had 80 some odd Rolls Royces. Now, how many can you drive at one time? So if you need 80, that means 90 won't satisfy you, nor will 100 or 200 or 1,000 or even 1. But what will satisfy us? What really will bring us the satisfaction we long for? To understand the answer to that question is really the purpose of our life. But who thinks like that? It is a rare soul. And it's even a rarer soul who will act on that thought and very pure and important desire. So the original form of the Supreme Lord is called Swayam. Swayam Rupa, that just means his actual form. But yet, it is not that he's limited. And he can expand. And for his pleasures and to have exchanges with his devotees, he can expand himself into many, many forms. He's unlimited. Why can't he expand himself into many forms, unlimited forms? And he doesn't lessen in potency if he does so. And the forms that come from the Swayam Rupa, they are called Prakash Prabhav. Or Prabhav Prakash. They have the same potency as the original, just like if you take one candle and you light a second candle from it, and then you light a third candle from it, and a fourth and a fifth candle from the original. There's one original candle, it's called Swayam Rupa, but all the other candles have equal power to that one original candle. But yet there's a different kind of expansion from the Supreme Lord, because he is the Supreme. Because everyone knows that the absolute truth, or God, you will say, is the creator. That means that he existed. Okay, if you create a car, does that mean you were there before the car was there? No, wait a second. What do you think? If you created a car, and if you don't get the right answer, I'm going to ask Antati, because I know that he knows. If you created a car, and you successfully created a car, does that mean that you existed before the car?
Yes.
Of course. See, Vade, if you listen, you're not. You had to exist before the car because you made it, right? Yeah. So when we think of God, we'll think of him as the creator. But that means that he existed before the creation existed, that which he created. But what was he doing? Was he sitting around just waiting, looking at his watch? When is creation going to take place? When do I have to do that? I have nothing to do until I'm the creator? Do you think he's doing that? Do you think he's just sitting and waiting around doing nothing? What is he doing? He's the supreme. He can do whatever he wants. He's unlimitedly powerful. He's unlimitedly beautiful. He's unlimitedly knowing. What does he do? He enjoys different activities with his greatest devotees. So in the pastimes, in Sri Vrindavan Dham, where he's enjoying with his greatest devotees, sometimes he expands in a different form that has the same power as him, but has a different mood. Same power, but a different mood. Same form, practically speaking, but a different mood and a different color. Because Krishna's color is shyam, darkest color. Ghanashyam, like a rain cloud filled with water. But that vaibhav prakash, that expansion with a different mood and a different color, he is called Vrindavan Balaram. What is that expansion called in Vrindavan? Balaram, very good. He has the same power as Krishna, but his mood is a little bit different because he's a person. Krishna is a person, Balaram is a person, just like we're people. Are you a people?
Yes.
You? You? How do you know? Sometimes I confuse everyone by asking that. How do you know that you exist? Well, if I didn't exist, I wouldn't even be able to ask myself if I existed or not. So I must exist. Who am I? That's a different kind of question. Are you your body? Because how do you know? Bhagavad Gita, very good. But also, do you remember how a few years ago you were only this big? Well, not that small, but you're only like that, say, and now you're like this. And a few years, we better have the new temple built already because it won't fit into this one. So, Balaram is Krishna's expansion in a different mood, but equally as powerful as Krishna. And this is important for us to understand. It's actually Krishna. Balaram and Krishna are the same in one sense, but Balaram is the Vaibhav Prakash expansion of Krishna for performing different pleasure-filled activities, lila pastimes in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And although there are many expansions of Krishna, there is only one in Vrindavan. That's this Vaibhav Prakash, direct expansion of Krishna, and that is Lord Balaram. So he's so special. Now, Balarama, you know what Bala means? Do you know what Bala means?
Right.
Wow. Thank you. Bala means strength. And Rama means pleasure. He gives the strength to have actual pleasure. So this is a very important day to pray to Lord Balaram. But of course, there are many different levels of pleasure. But if you want real pleasure, don't pray to Balaram for 80 Rolls Royces, unless you want to donate them to the temple. Because real pleasure comes from connecting with great love and devotion in a personal relationship with Krishna. That is called, the process of learning to do that is called bhakti yoga. So I would like to tell you a pastime of Lord Balaram. Pastime means a story, but not like a story that we make up. It's a story that is written in the very ancient books like Srimad Bhagavatam. Now I was looking every year, if I give class on Balaram Purnima, I have to tell them. Pastime. I must tell a pastime, a story. Otherwise, all the boys and girls will fall asleep and they'll start going like this to each other. So I have to tell a story. So this year, I thought of a story to tell that I never told before. But it's a very odd story in one sense, because Balaram does something in this pastime, in this story, that is very, you'd never think that he would do such a thing, but he does. And the important thing to understand, well, one of the most important things to understand about everything that Krishna does and everything that Balaram does is that it's good. It's good, it's perfect, it's pure, it's from the spiritual level. If we do the same things, it may not be good. Like, what's an example of something that Krishna does that's very good, but if we do it, it's not good?
He tricks Dronacharya in Mahabharata.
He tricks Dronacharya. Good one. What's another one? What's one of his childhood pastimes? Yes.
He steals butter.
Now, you can't say, I'm a follower of Krishna. And because Krishna stole from his neighbor's butter. Therefore, I should not dump that. Because he is the Supreme Lord and everything he does is good. But if we try to imitate him, then it won't work out properly for us and we'll get caught by the law of karma. But everything Krishna does is good and everything Balaram does is good. So if you understand the Mahabharata, you understand that it was leading up to a great war, a great battle. And that place where the battle was going to take place, it's not Karnal, and it's not Pratibhat. What is the name of that place that's near those places? Do you know?
Kurukshetra.
Raise your hand if you've been to Kurukshetra. It's a big, big field where the battle took place. Now, the battle is famous if you read the Mahabharata, but if you don't read the Mahabharata, so it's mostly famous because of the words that Krishna spoke to Arjuna before the battle took place. And what are the famous words that Krishna spoke? Do you know? What book is it? What is it? You all know. Yeah, why not? What is the name? 800 verses. Bhagavad Gita, yes. I didn't ask the question properly. I would have immediately answered. The Bhagavad Gita. But this great war was going to be a disaster on one level, but it was Krishna's desire. There are so many points we can make in this regard about why Krishna wanted this battle to take place, but we won't describe that now. But even though it was a battle, and no one likes battles because there's so much bloodshed and maybe nowadays innocent people would die. But when Krishna wants something, there is a good reason, and battles were quite different in those days. There were no innocent people, there were warriors fighting warriors. Are you a warrior? Or are you just a little boy?
No boy.
Now, there was a fight that was going to take place between the Kurus and the Pandavas, and Balaram had a relationship. He was a relative of both of them, the Kurus and the Pandavas. And he didn't want the battle to take place. No one wants a battle to take place between family members. And Balaram was related to both. So he tried to be a peacemaker. But he failed. And he knew that both the Pandavas and the Kauravas were going to request him to be on their side against the other. And he had a relationship with both, so he didn't want to participate at all in the battle, even though he was a warrior. So instead of fighting in the battle, he decided to go on pilgrimage from one holy place to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. Going on to holy places is very important. Do you know why? Do you know why?
To visit the place where Krishna took his path.
Yes, that's very important, to visit the place. But why else is it important? But you have to raise your hand. I heard someone say, why is it important? Yes. To cleanse yourself. What is the way of cleansing yourself? To clean, cleansing the self. It means cleansing the heart. Yes.
To have a self-assign.
To have association with holy people. It's the most important thing to do in a holy place, to associate with holy people. Because their words, the words of a holy person, can act on our hearts. and change what? What will it change?
Consciousness.
No, I couldn't see who said that.
Consciousness.
Consciousness, yes. But what part of the consciousness is specificity? I'll tell you because it's have something specific in mind, our desires. Because by associating with a holy person, their words can enter our hearts through our ears and help us cultivate or change our desire to want to be with Krishna from just the way we live our lives in such a way that every day we work and work just to survive, and then we work more just to get one of those and two of those and six of those and more and more and more because we desire to do so, but we forget the actual importance of our life. So, by the association of a holy person, by their words, we may get the idea very strongly in our heart, maybe weakly at first, but the idea that maybe I should really try to awaken my relationship with Krishna, with God, with the Supreme Lord, and that is the real purpose of my life. Maybe very weakly at first, like a poor internet connection. It takes a long time to download. So maybe like that at first. But when that desire, tatra loyam apimula mekalam, when that desire is very strong, then immediately our connection with Krishna is stronger by the association of holy people, sadhus, of saints, and desire. As maybe as a spark, later it becomes a blazing fire of desire to be with Krishna and to serve Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he's so wonderful. So Balaram decided to go on pilgrimage because that's what people did when they didn't know what else they should do before they had mobile phones. Did you ever notice that when you don't know what to do, none of you probably do it, but I have bad tendency. But I'm not sure what to do. I check my mobile phone for WhatsApp messages, or even though I did it 2 minutes ago, just in case I won the lottery. $1 billion waiting for me, just in case. We don't know what to do, but we look in the wrong place. By habit, by conditioning. But pious people, they turn to Krishna, and often will go on pilgrimage. So Balaram went from one place to the next, from one holy place, and that is one of the great fortunes of Bharat, the land of India. There are so many holy places and holy people living in holy places. And first he traveled through three wonderful, he went to the holy places on the bank of the river, of three wonderful rivers, famous rivers in India. One of them is not so famous anymore, the Saraswati. But the other is the Ganga, and what is the third one that I'm thinking of that's very famous, and it's very nice to go to holy places on the bank of that river.
Yamuna.
Yes, that's the one I was thinking of. See how your knowledge is growing and growing and growing. So he went to the Yamuna, he went to all the holy places, and then he went to a holy place called Namasharanya. Now, here is where Balaram is going to do something extraordinary. Extraordinary that from the point of view of an ordinary person, you think, why did he do this? I'll tell you what it is. He went there, and there was many, many, many sages, holy people there, saints. And they were performing sacrifices according to the Vedic system, offering ghee, into the fire sacrifice. Things like this. Have you ever seen a fire sacrifice? You? There's a certain atmosphere that's created that's so auspicious. And by performing these acts of sacrifice, the result is actually knowledge. Now, this is an important point. Now, what's the result of performing acts of sacrifice? Just checking to see if you are the same. What's the result? Anyone under 12? Yes.
Knowledge?
Yeah. You get knowledge. Knowledge doesn't mean how to code in C++. It means to know who we actually are. Not the body, not the mind, but who we are internally, that is knowledge. As the Prabhupada used to speak about this again and again and again, this is actual knowledge. They don't teach this knowledge in the universities today, or in the high schools, or the high school. Did they tell you in what year of school you would?
Year 5.
And Chaitanya? Oh, sorry. That's, I was just checking to make sure. Testing him. What is your name?
Sumit.
How old is that? How old are you?
57.
Do you go to school? What class are you in?
Class 2.
Do they teach you that you're an eternal soul? And then?
Yes.
They didn't teach me either. And I got into so much trouble because of that. So, knowledge is the purpose of sacrifice. And Balaram went there, and these sages, there were so many sages that now that's around it later on, the Srimad Bhagavatam was going to be spoken there. And they were performing sacrifices. And the person sitting on the Vyasasana, his name was Ramaharshan Sutta. So when Balaram came, everyone understood that he was the Supreme Lord. And everyone in great respect stood up. And some of the younger sages, they folded their hands after they stood up and they offered their obeisances. And the older ones, they stood up, but they didn't bow down because they were already maybe too old, but they offered their blessings to Balaram. And everyone was so happy because Balaram is above Prakash. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, practically speaking. Not that there are two gods. There's only one, but he can expand. It's like the candle can expand its light. So everyone stood up and offered respect and was so happy to see Balaram, except for one person. And this one person, he was very, very learned. You have a hurt arm?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
How did you get?
He slipped.
Oh, no. Did you cry?
No.
So everyone stood up except for one person, who was the leader in one sense, and he was sitting on the asana of the one who was speaking. He was the great knower of all the Puranic literature. His name was Ramaharshan Sutta, and he didn't stand up. He didn't show Balaram respect. He was so learned. He had studied all the Vedic literatures, and he was speaking. He was a great teacher. He did not know how to respect the Supreme Lord. He wasn't gentle in his behavior. Therefore, Balaram decided that all his study was useless and that he was a pretender and he was a cheater. So although he was the leader and all the sages were there, Balaram picked up, or he carried with him actually, some kusa grass with his sharp, but not sharp enough to do what Balaram was going to do. It was just a piece of grass. And Balaram, just with that, he killed him. Now, all the sages who saw this, I told you he was going to do something very unexpected. They're all performing a sacrifice, and he picked up a straw and killed Rama Harshan Sutta because he saw something in him that was very bad. But all the sages who were there, they stood up and said, "What has happened? No, no, Balaram, what have you done?" They were actually of two minds. One, they had blessed Rama Harshan Sutta. "You sit here. We want you to lead us. We want you to speak the Puranas to us. You will be the one who speaks, and we will be the one who learns. And we will bless you." And when the sages bless, when holy people bless, then wonderful things happen. In astrology, there is something called Vak Siddhi, which means your words will become true. So when the sages bless, this is very powerful. And they had blessed Rama Harshan Sutta. "You can speak for as long as you want and your health will be good. You practically can be eternal as long as you speak truths of the Puranas." And Balaram killed him. And the sages were saying, "This is Balaram, what have you done? Don't you know that we've installed him as the speaker, we've blessed him to live a long life?" But on the other side, that was one way they thought, but on the other way they thought was that, "Balaram, everything you do is perfect. But yet we blessed him. But then you killed him. So on one hand, it looks like you made a mistake or you didn't know that we had blessed him. But on the other hand, we know that you know everything and that everything you do is perfect." So they weren't sure how to deal with the both sides of this. So they said that to Balaram, both sides. "We know that everything you do is perfect, but yet you have done something and we have blessed him and you have..." So Balaram said, "Okay, if you want, I'll just bring him back to life and I'll reinstall all your blessings. Is that what you want? I'll do that. And I'll, whatever other blessings you want me to give him, I'll give him." And they said, "No, no, no, because we know everything you do is perfect. But yet there's a problem. And the problem is that we have blessed him. And also, it's not a very good example what you have done. You've killed a holy person, the speaker of the Bhagavatam. So you please, we want you to perform some prayaschitta." What does prayaschitta mean? If you know what prayaschitta means, it's atonement. You've done something bad. So now you have to do something good, even though we know that what you have done isn't really bad. See, but still, to set a good example, you should perform some atonement. But we won't tell you what it is. So you do what you want. So Bob said, "You have blessed this person for a long life and good health. But he has a son, and the son is the same as the father in a very real sense. So instead of bringing him back to life, take those blessings and then we'll put them on the son. And that son, because Rama Harshan Sutta, he has the same, he was called Sutta Goswami, who became the speaker of the Bhagavad Tam in Namasharanya years later. And then what else? What is the atonement you want me to do? You should go on pilgrimage for 1 year, 12 months. Is there anything else you want me to do? Balaram said. And he said, they said, yeah. There's one other thing. Because Balaram was very, very submissive. Even though he was the Supreme Lord, he was showing that one should be very submissive to holy people. What else do you want me to do? And he said, there is one very evil being called, his name is Balvana. He's so on the Amavasya, on the new moon day, and on the full moon day, every time he comes, and we're performing sacrifices, and he's so powerful, but he uses his power in a terrible way, and he throws horrible substances on our sacrifices and pollutes them. Horrible things. I won't even say what they are, because they're so horrible. So you please stop him, kill him, get rid of him. His pleasure is to cause trouble to holy people. Stop. So Balaram said, okay. So he waited and waited. And then the new day came, Amavasya, and Balaram was waiting for Balaram to come. And suddenly, horrible smells descended on the sacrificial area. And it began raining horrible things of a terrible odor upon the sacrificial area. And suddenly Balvala appeared. He was huge. He had fangs. He was powerful. He had a horrible complexion. And he was laughing, because he was causing trouble, and that was giving him happiness. He called for his plow, and his plow appeared. Then he called for his club, and his club appeared. And this demon, this fellow, Balval, was flying in the sky, and Balaram took his plow, with the point of the plow, he pulled him down. And you know what he did with the club? He whacked him in the head. He fixed him good. He killed him with one of his clubs. And blood came out. And he looked like a mountain that had been hit by a thunderbolt with red iron oxide coming out. And the sages was... He had been causing them trouble for so many months and years. And he was so thrilled. He thanked Balaram. And then they said, now it is the time for you to go on pilgrimage. So he went on pilgrimage for 1 year. And he went to many holy places. He went to the far south in India. About it called Seta Bandhu, which is very famous. Does anyone know why Seta Bandhu is famous? Someone's saying it. The bridge. Has anyone been there to Seta Bandhu? You've been there? Yes? Could you see Sri Lanka from there?
I was young.
You were young.
I don't know.
Okay. Now you're not young. Okay. You're so lucky. Have you been to Vrindavan?
Yes, but I don't remember. I don't remember his coffin.
Where's your father? You should take him to Vrindavan now. He's old enough to remember. Okay. Go. Okay. Let's go. You want to come to Vrindavan? Would you like to see Govardhan Hill? Would you like to see the Yamuna River? Would you like to see Krishna and Balaram? Would you like to?
Yeah.
Why don't you take him to Vrindavan? He's such a good boy. Have you been to Vrindavan? Soon, I hope. You, Baba?
Yeah.
How many times? One time?
More than 50 times, I think.
So, Balaram traveled all over, and then he ended up, he went to Kurukshetra again. And in Kurukshetra, it was just after the Battle of Kurukshetra had finished when he got there. And it was just at the very end when Bhim was fighting with
Duryodhana.
And so he had affection for both of them, it seemed. And when Yudhisthira and Nakul Sahadev saw Balaram had come just in the middle of the fight between Duryodhan and Bhim, they became a little afraid. Why is Balaram here just now? We know he has so much affection for Duryodhan. And he didn't say anything. And Balaram said to Duryodhan and Bhim, you two, your cousin brothers, Bhim is stronger than Duryodhan. But Duryodhan is more expert in club fighting. No one will win. Why don't you just stop this fighting? But the two of them had so much anger and hatred towards each other. They only wanted to be with each other, and they wouldn't listen to Balaram. So Balaram said, I can understand that something is going on here far beyond my power. And there was only one thing, one person beyond my power, and that is Krishna. So I understand that what's going on here in this fight that even I cannot stop must be Krishna's arrangement. And I won't and I can't interfere. So he went to his place at Dwarka, and we knew what was going to happen. And who won that fight? Do you know?
Bhim
won. Krishna did something a little bit tricky. So after that was over, Balaram went back. His 12 months were over. He went back to Namasaranya. And now we are getting to almost the end of what I wanted to say. And the sages, when Balaram came, what do you think the first thing they did? What do you think was the first thing they did? They stood up very quickly. Balaram was so happy to see you. See, everywhere Balaram went, everyone was so happy to see him. And they were so happy. They said, we want you to perform a sacrifice now. And they helped him perform a sacrifice. And Balaram was so happy that he gave them, of course, he was doing it not to purify himself, but to teach that one to be submissive to the spiritual truths spoken by holy people. But he was so happy that he gave them a blessing. They were sages, and they were performing sacrifices. And what was the purpose of sacrifice?
To gain knowledge.
To gain knowledge, yes. So he gave them a blessing. I'm going to read what he said. There's two verses in Sanskrit. I'll read it, then we go then. Said, Tebhyo Vasudam Vijnanam Bhagavan Vyatarad Vibhu, the Supreme Lord, Vibhu, the Almighty, All-Powerful Supreme Lord. He blessed them, he gave them Visuddham Vijnanam, pure, full, transcendental knowledge. That was his blessing to them. Because they were sages, that's what they actually wanted. He gave them Visuddham Vijnanam Bhagavan Vyataran Virgu Yenat Vatmi Mani Ado Vishram Atmanam Vishugam Vidu. And what was the knowledge that he blessed them with? The ability to see something that ordinary people can't see? He gave them the ability to see that within him, the Supreme Lord, within Krishna, the Supreme Lord, everything in existence was there. Everything in existence was within Krishna. But not only that, that everything outside, he was there. He was inside of everything. Krishna was there inside of everything. And everything was inside of him. But still more wonderful was that he gave the blessing to see everything is not separate from him. But he was a person, a supreme person, a supreme personality, the supreme personality of life. He's a person. Now, this knowledge is wonderful. And there's one more verse I'm going to read, but before that, I want to tell you something even more wonderful. To know everything is not different from Krishna. It is Visuddham Vijnanam. It is knowledge that is untouched by illusion. But in the next two chapters, the 80th and the 81st chapters of the Gita, the scene changes. And we hear of Krishna's relationship with one very, very poor Brahmana whose name was Sudama. And their relationship was so sweet. So even better and higher than knowing that there's nothing different from the Supreme Lord and everything is resting in him is to have a sweet relationship through bhakti with him. And we see the reciprocation that Krishna gave with Sudama and what Sudama gave Krishna, just very sweet and full of love and affection. This is the 79th chapter of the 10th canto, and the next two chapters are which ones that I just, about Sudama? Okay, this is really easy math, right? After 79 is 80, right? And after 80 is 81. Now I'm going to ask you a very difficult question. What is the next chapter number? Very good, 82. And 82 says something even more wonderful. It is about Kurukshetra again. But it's at a different time before the battle takes place. And there, Krishna met the residents of Vrindavan after he had been absent from them for some time. There, at a place called Sannihit Sarov, Krishna met the brother Gopis. And not only is the relationship between Krishna and his devotees sweet, and it's full of knowledge, sweet, as we heard about Sudama, but in Kurukshetra we learn that love for Krishna, prema bhakti, one's relationship with Krishna can be so strong that it can control even the unlimited Supreme Lord Narayana. This is how strong love for Krishna controls even the unlimitedly powerful Supreme Lord. Now, that's how I wanted to end. But I wanted to say one last verse from the end of the 79th chapter, because there is a blessing that has instructions. So listen carefully. Yo, are you listening carefully?
Yes.
Sure? Yes? You have to have your ears open. Yo anu smaret ramasya. Whoever, what does smarana mean? Remember. Whoever remembers ramasya, the pastimes of Balaram, kamani abhuta kamana, if anyone, whoever remembers the activities of Lord Balaram, which are abhuta karma, which are wonderful, like you could kill someone with a piece of grass. Sayam patar anantasya, at the dusk time, or at dawn, if anyone remembers him, you know what happens? Vishnu sadayato bhavit. That person will become very dear to Krishna. So, one minute left, because it's just about a little past dusk now. I want us all to practice remembering something about Balaram. Okay, close your eyes. Close your eyes. No peeking, even. You have to close your eyes too, even. Remember something about Balaram. Oh, one goro. Okay. Anyone like to say what something they remembered about Balaram? Raise your hand. Yes. Very quickly.
How he killed Pralambasura.
Very good. Thank you. Anyone else like to say something about Balaram? I thought you raised your hand. Yes.
He killed
Dinukasura. He killed Dinukasura. Very good. Thank you. Anyone like to say something about Balaram?
He pulled Hastinapur.
He pulled Hastinapur. Very good.
His
beautiful lotus face. Thank you. Anyone else like to say something about Balaram?
Presenting an opposite mood during the Kalia episode.
Yes. Opposite to who?
Like everyone was worried. So yeah. He was giving an opposite mood.
So don't worry.
Yeah, like making them laugh.
And they saw Balaram is happy watching. We worry. He knows everything. Thank you. Very good. Anyone else? Something about Balaram? No one raised their hand. I'll start calling on people even though their hands aren't raised and you all get very much put on the spot. Yes, go.
It's like a big brother.
It is big brother. What is he called as big brother?
Dowji.
Do you like Dowji? Yeah. You wouldn't want to get in a fight with him either. One last one. Who would say yes? These
blue garments.
Yes, Mataji.
Teacher of Duryodhana.
He's the teacher of Duryodhana.
Who, how in Krishna Balaram temple, he rests his hand on
Krishna. Yes. Yes. And Prabhupada once said, and here's a clue for you all, if you have a problem that you can't solve, you take it to Balaram. Anyone else? Yes. Yeah. Do you know that when Balaram was on that pilgrimage, he didn't go to Jagannath Puri? Because he felt it would be odd him worshipping Balaram. Okay, thank you very much for that. These boys and girls are very, very wonderful. They're special, especially wonderful. And also the big boys and girls, too.
His Grace Guruji and Prabhu Ki!
Very good.